We are joined on the Fan Nation Fan Morning Show by CBS Sports NFL insider Jason Lockenfor. Jason, morning. Thanks for your time. How you doing at this busy time of year?
I can't complain. You know, it's got to love the NFL. Never a dull moment. And actually, things have, I mean, I'm probably jinxing it, but relatively speaking, slowed down. You know, that the first wave of free agency is over. Obviously, there's still some quarterback situations to sort out. But, you know, it was a wild, fun week. But at the end of the day, I don't know how many of these moves will be transformational. I don't know how many of these teams will actually get better noticeably in the standings. You know, and free agency in this league is usually fool's gold, but we'll see.
Now, after this first wave of free agency, as you said, is the Brock Osweiler deal with Houston maybe the craziest money spent on anybody?
I mean, we'll find out. I don't like it in real time, but, I mean, if they get over the hump and become a team that doesn't just sort of get in the playoffs, but, you know, wins its division and makes some noise in an AFC where, let's face it, things have certainly changed. The landscape has changed dramatically. Then maybe it works. Look, all this quarterback money is nuts. And it's only a matter of time before your quarterback up there, you know, calls his agents and says, wait a minute, this market has reset and I've only got a few years left on my deal. And it's time for me to jump to the head of the class again. No, that day will come. It may come this off season. But, yeah, look, that's the price of doing business in the NFL. If you think you have a above-average quarterback, chances are you're paying him more than $15 million a year now. But, yeah, for seven starts, $37 million guaranteed over 2 years, a lot of money. And we'll see. I think the kid is pretty raw. I think, you know, it's not going to be what maybe some think it will be. I don't think he's plug and play, ready to lift a franchise. And we'll see how good that defense is and how good the rest of that roster is because, you know, I think he may prove to be a capable quarterback. But, again, I don't think he immediately makes other people better.
Jason Lockenfor, CBSSports.com, NFL insider joining us. Jason, you talk about Osweiler going there. And I love all the questions that come and go. How come you left Denver? Was it because you got benched or – you know, all these different reasons when in reality he left because of the money, right? I mean, that's what everybody goes for.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, he could have had $13 million a year from Denver, oh, I don't know, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. He could have had $15 or $16 million a year from Denver 2 days ago.
Right.
Now, that's not 18. I get it. And it all matters, and this may be his only bite at the apple. But to watch that press conference, and I didn't watch all of it, but because I after like about the first 10 minutes, I was like, "This is ridiculous." But to be lauding the Houston Texans franchise from the McNair family on down, as if they are the Rooneys, and then to be talking about the opportunity and the chance to play with Bill O'Brien when you're leaving a team that just won the Super Bowl,
right,
for a team that has no playoff pedigree in their history. You know, you're asking me to suspend disbelief here. Yeah. You went for a couple of reasons. The money, which is always the reason, and guys don't have to say it, and I get all that, but it's a business. So you went for the money. You went because you felt like they valued you more than Denver, and you went because your feelings got a little, you know, you got a little into your feelings when you got benched for a guy who you felt like was done, who you never really clicked with, who never really mentored you or tutored you. You know, who at the end, it certainly wasn't like those two were all kumbaya. And he felt like that could have been his opportunity to win a Super Bowl and then think about how much money he'd be making if that had happened. So it was clear that if he had any chance to move on and make legitimate money elsewhere, that was going to resonate with him. You know, and at the end of the day, it did. But for Denver, just go and look at the gross quarterbacking statistics from both those guys, Osweiler and Manning combined. Over all 19 games, including the playoffs, it's bottom third of the league. They don't need to get a, you know, a difference maker. They just need to get a placeholder.
Well, what is the state of the quarterback position in the NFL here, Jason, when teams are tripping over themselves to give a guy like Brock Osweiler $18 million a year? Now the Broncos are less scrambling for, I mean, really what amounts to nothing out there, a Ryan Fitzpatrick or an RG3 or a Colin Kaepernick. There's no wonder New England wants Tom Brady to play into his 40s. What are they going to do when he's done? Isn't this a little telltale of what the quarterback position or a lack of depth in the quarterback position in the NFL?
Well, I mean, absolutely. There's only so many decent ones out there. And the price will continue to go up. And, I mean, really, I don't – even Brock Osweiler, like, that's crazy money. But compared to what the owners are bringing in, right, compared to the new Thursday night package, and with Stan Kroenke now with his relocation fee, and then another relocation fee eventually coming from the Chargers and the Raiders, like, that's $17 million a team right there. Like, Osweiler's paid for, and Bob McNair didn't do anything except sit in a hotel room in Houston, right, for 6 hours while they decided who was going to L.A. So let's not pretend that anybody in the NFL where you're literally risking your neck every Sunday is overpaid. None of them are compared to what the owners are raking in. But, yeah, it's supply and demand, and desperate times call for desperate measures. And the Houston Texans made the playoffs last year, and it's clear that they don't think Hoyer's anything more than a caretaker. And now there's pressure to stay in the playoffs. And O'Brien hasn't found a quarterback since he's been there. And so they're looking around, and they're picking, 22nd? And who's going to be there? Maybe Connor Cook, maybe Hackenberg. Do we really love them? And so, they jumped. I mean, there's a reason why Ryan Fitzpatrick last year, right, was traded for a seventh-round pick that might move up to a sixth. And now a year later, off a decent season, he's trying to get $16 million a year. And he might, but to this point, the Jets won't budge. So, I think it's where you are in your program. It's where you're going to be drafting. The key is what the Packers have always done. Ron Wolf was ahead of this way before anybody else, right? Always be drafting and developing quarterbacks. Doesn't matter who you have. If you have a Brett Favre, so what? If Rodgers looks like value, you do it. You look at Brunel, you look at Hasselbeck, you look at even how Matt Flynn got paid. I mean, and then you look at his proteges, right? You look, what has Andy Reid done? What has Andy Reid taken, from that whole sort of, Green Bay paradigm? Oh, well, what's he doing? Oh, well, we got McNabb, but we're going to draft Cobb in the second round or whatever, and maybe he works out and maybe he doesn't. And we've got McNabb and Cobb, but look at Mike Vick. We think there's real value there, buying cheap on him, coming back into the league. So let's do that, and on it goes. And look at Kansas City. He gets to Kansas City, and he's got Chase Daniel. He's carrying four quarterbacks. He's developing Daniel. Chase Daniel might beat out Sam Bradford at some point this year in Philadelphia for that job. He just got $12 million guaranteed. So I just think that's what's most paramount is continue to draft them, have them. If you develop them, if you flop them in trade, whatever you do, I think in the mid-rounds. Now, I'm not talking 6-7 and priority free agent. Not there's anything wrong with that either. But even if it's not a need and there's someone in the third round that you just feel like, wow, we're going to be able to flip that into something, and you trust you have the coaches to develop them like you do in Green Bay, you just keep taking them.
CBSSports.com, NFL insider Jason Lockenfora with us. Let's talk about the Packers situation. A lot of people around here are upset every year at this time of the year because
Ted Thompson. It's laughable.
Yeah, what's laughable? The fact that they don't get anybody in free agency or the fans get upset?
Are up in arms. Let's just go back every year and look at who wins free agency, right?
Uh-huh.
What was it 3 years ago? It was Greg Jennings at $9 million a year, right? And Mike Wallace at $10 or $11 million. Mike Wallace is going to be on his third team since then.
Right.
Right? I mean, he's been kicked to the curb by Miami and Minnesota, and he's going to sign a one-year prove-it contract somewhere next week. Like, what is it? Is anybody raving about Ndamukong Suh right now in Miami? They keep throwing more money at their defensive line because it didn't work last year. I mean, just go back the year that the Titans spent the most. And when is it? It doesn't work. And the good organizations know that, and they'll find their value and trust their evaluations in the second wave, third wave of free agency. And it's keeping your own guys. And they did a hell of a job of that last year. And look, injuries, bad luck, some things happen. You're not going to win the Super Bowl every year, but they're in the equation every year. And it's because they have a formula that works, and they're not going to sway from it. And it's not like they don't spend money. I mean, people were shocked this time last year right, that they were able to keep everybody that they kept.
But let me ask you this, though, because I don't think the Packer fans want Ted to go out and do a $100 million contract like an Ndamukong Suh, but I think they would like him to identify a weakness on the team. Let's just take inside linebacker, for instance, and Danny Trevathan, who signs with Chicago for what doesn't seem to be an outrageous contract that wouldn't break the bank and really put the Packers in salary cap hell, you know, just to go out and maybe plug a hole that has been a glaring weakness on this team for years.
That is a lot of money in this day and age for an inside linebacker and not a pass rusher. I wouldn't pay that position in free agency. I would just keep that would be another one where we're going to just keep drafting guys, and we'll eventually hit on one. I think you have to, especially when I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers' contract is going to jump up in the next year, and they know that. So I can't argue with their philosophy. I really can't. I mean, some people would say add a running back. I mean, really? Like Lamar Miller?
Yeah.
I mean, he might be a nice player. They barely used him in Miami. But do I need to give him $5.5 million? I mean, one of these RFA running backs and take a flyer on them with an offer sheet? I think something like that is smart. And I think smart teams like New England are interested in doing that. And that's one way that the talent-rich teams can get richer without breaking the bank. But, I mean, if you look at their needs, especially if you want to talk inside linebacker or again, maybe upgrading running back, and there's so many of them in the draft, and there's so much. They just come so cheaply, and especially a team that has the array of talent that they have and a fair number of heavy contracts to begin with, I just think you really get yourself in a bind. If you do that, I mean, Janoris Jenkins, I mean, he's making almost $13 million a year, right? And his own team chose another guy over him. The Rams said, we're still worried about him a little bit off the field. We'll take 1 year of Trumaine Johnson at, 12-7 rather than give this kid close to 13 on a multi-year deal.
Spoken like
that's
a general, Jason. You're speaking like a general manager. You have that long term outlook that fans just don't have. They want
it now.
That's
how you stay in contention. There's
right.
a reason that the Packers are in the equation every year. You know what I mean? And there's a reason why the Steelers are in it more years than not. And the Patriots. And yes, it's all because they have franchise quarterbacks. And in some cases, they have franchise quarterbacks and they get way below value. You know, and what Tom Brady's willing to do for Bob Kraft year after year. But it's also because of the philosophies that they share.
But in the equation is not good enough. People want Super Bowl championships with, quote-unquote, the best quarterback in the league, and they've only been to one of them.
Well, again,
you're not... Is that fair?
Huh? I mean, what do you want me to say?
Well, you can understand the thought process, though, right?
Well, yeah, but sure. I get it, but... How many years have they missed the playoffs?
Not for a while. Not for 8 years.
How many years have they had a chance in January to win a title? Every year.
Almost, yeah.
I think you get a little jaded, you know what I mean? And you get a little spoiled, and I understand the frustration. But it's tough. And the reality for the Packers is, and the entire NFC, is that you've seen an influx of franchise quarterbacks in other places. And that makes it difficult. I mean, at the end of the day, it's usually the same group of guys who are sort of holding the chalice at the end, right? The AFC, it's shaken up a little bit now because Peyton's done. And, you know, we'll see when Brady hits the wall. And Flacco's coming off two knee surgeries. And all of a sudden, maybe there's an opening. But in the NFC, I mean, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, they're not going anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tony Romo, I mean, not that they win in the playoffs, but he's coming back from a collarbone. They might be better. You know, Eli's still there. It's kind of the same guys all the time
right.
shuffling those chairs as to which quarterback, you know, which of those eight or nine guys gets it any given year. You know, and once you break into that group, especially at the age that Russell Wilson and Cam have, and you're built the way they are, they're going to be around for a while. So it's tough, man. It's incredibly tough. And injuries, and there's things that are out of your hands. But, I mean, I'll buy into the Packers pretty much any given year. And there's only, again, 6 to 8 teams that I would legitimately say any given September, you know, I'll take a flyer on them to be, you know, to win the whole damn thing. And maybe they do this year. How old is Aaron?
32.
Yeah,
32.
I mean,
33-ish, yeah.
Guys are in their prime till 38. I mean, I just think this idea that, it hasn't been successful enough. because they've only won one with him. How many did Peyton win in 14 years in Indianapolis?
One.
And I would agree. No. They should have won more, but that was one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
We'll see. The best thing going is that kid's got five or six top seasons still in him. And if he ends up going to a couple more Super Bowls and winning another Super Bowl, that's a career that I think, you know, most people would say, yeah, let's sign me up for that right now. You know, give me 15 years of that.
All right, so before we let you go, because I know you're a busy guy, let me just ask you one more question, because you talked about the draft and guys, and because that's really what we have to look forward to here in Green Bay. As much as we'd like to fool ourselves thinking that Ted's going to do something in free agency, we have to wait until late April and May, because we know Ted will spend his draft picks. So how deep is the draft? Is it a deep draft? And give me the two positions that the Packers probably need the biggest upgrade. The consensus is inside linebacker and tight end. Your thoughts about those two positions and the depth of the draft?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's certainly deep along the D-line, and they're always going to be looking for value there. They'll never stop, you know, building from the inside out and looking at guys who, you know, are right along the line of scrimmage. I mean, I would say the defensive line is certainly the strength. It's not a skill player draft that's going to have people, doing cartwheels, but that, again, for the Packers, that's just fine. Yeah, I mean, there's some tight end value there. I mean, the reality is they'll find three or four players that no one thought they'd draft, and at least a couple of them will end up being solid contributors and maybe more than that. And I think they're going to continue to develop their players as well. You know, Jordy's coming back. We'll see how Eddie Lacy responds and what happens there. They'll continue to draft players at certain positions to put pressure on guys already there to keep their jobs. I mean, that seems to be, you know, something fairly constant with them as well. And look, I don't rule out the Packers doing something in free agency. You know, there's still a lot of corners out there who might fill a need, but it's got to be the right guy at the right price. And once this market resets a little bit and values for some guys start to fall, you know, I wouldn't rule out Ted jumping in when strategically makes sense for them.
Sounds good. Jason, always appreciate it when you spend a few minutes with us. I hope you'll do it again down the road.
Sounds good. My pleasure.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you very much. Jason Lockenfor, CBS Sports NFL Insider, here on the Fan Nation Fan Morning Show.